are discussing the Nevi'im, the prophets. And a lot of people are just very surprised to discover that meditation plays any role in the Torah. But as we know, it's a subject which is not really discussed. I mean, the rabbi is already, you can hear a drasha from a rabbi, he doesn't really talk about meditation, right? He says, and the Torah says all the time, Hashem spoke to Moshe. So Hashem speaks to Moshe, so we take for granted Hashem spoke to Moshe. And Moshe spoke to Hashem. So half of that we can do, right? We can all talk to Hashem. We try to talk to Hashem. We're now tefillah, we're talking to Hashem. But we don't get that response back. What's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and us?
He gets a response back.
How does he get a response? And the answer is meditation. That's the part which is left out, which is we have to understand. How did Hashem speak to Moshe? Why did Hashem speak to Moshe? And the answer is, because the answer is meditation. So even though we don't discuss meditation, it's so obvious that there's a channel which Moshe Rabbeinu created with God. He has a channel. How do you create the channel to God? And the answer is by focusing his mind on God. He focuses his mind on God. And how do you know? Yes, but first you have to create the channel. What was he doing in his spare time looking after the sheep? It doesn't say. Exactly, it doesn't say. And that's the problem. That is our problem. Our problem is it doesn't say specifically that Moshe meditated.
That was the way to...
No prophet doesn't say he meditated. It does say by, we talked about, by Shaul HaMelech, he fell into, when he went into the Nevi'im, and it said, talks, then it tells you about they were playing music, and he fell into a trance-like state. We don't get the background information by Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't get the background information. But we do know that the Jewish people, when they got the Torah, could not take it. So in other words, his prophecy was something which he could bear, and they couldn't take even two. They took two mitzvot. They heard two mitzvot. They could. That's it. They had enough. Because their channel was so short, they weren't used to it. So you can see he must have been practicing for many years. That Hashem is able to speak to him and he's not scared, he's not trance-like. Right? He's the only one who could do it. So obviously he was practicing. It wasn't something which naturally comes. It's something which you have to practice. Obviously some people are more in tune with it. Some people are very spiritually sensitive. Right? They can feel things that which are unsaid. Some people are very sensitive to other people. But they're also very sensitive to spiritual things. Some people are very sensitive. Some people are very crass. Right? Some people don't feel anything spiritual. You take a guy into the shul, do you feel anything? No, I feel anything. You see another guy to the shoe says, I feel something over here. I feel a presence over here. So that's the idea. So some people are very sensitive. And Moshe Rabbeinu obviously was very, very sensitive. And very spiritual before he even got prophecy. And like Avraham Avinu, he's searching for Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had a big question. Why is Hashem letting this happen to us? And that's his question over and over again. Why is Hashem letting... That's all you have to say. Why are you doing, Hashem, why are you doing this to the Jewish people? Why are you doing this to the Jewish people? Until Hashem says, you think I don't care about them? I'm in a burning bush. My thorn bush, Rashi says, why? I'm with them in their troubles. I feel their pain. That's why I'm in a thorn bush. Why did Hashem appear to him in a thorn bush? Tell him, listen, I feel their pain more than you know. You have a question against me? I'm going to answer your questions now. The time has come now to deliver them. And because you're questioning, you're going to be part of the delivery. So if it really worries you, Hashem says, I'm going to make you part of my efforts. Psh. If the situation in Israel really worries you, you're going to be part of the fixing it. Because through your prayers and through your cries, Hashem's going to listen to you. And may make you part of his partnership to help the situation. So that's a very, very, you know, this part is left out. The meditational aspect is left out of the Torah. Except in certain places, like we talked about Shaul. Those are the main places, Elisha. Eliyahu Navi goes to the Har Sinai. There he talks about meditation. He didn't eat and drink for... didn't eat and drink? I really should ring a bell. What do you mean he didn't eat and didn't drink for 40 days? How can you live like that? And the answer is in a trance-like state we do find in India. The sadhus. Those guys, they meditate. They can lie on a bed of nails. Right? And they don't eat. They don't eat and drink for days. I don't know if they can do it 40 days. They're very skinny and they're, you know... But he was in a different world. He was in a different dimension. He was in the angels. He's with the angels in a different world, different dimension completely. His mind is in a different dimension. So that trouble is, it's not explicitly mentioned. That's a trouble. It's implicit. But most people don't get it. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Okay. What do you mean he spoke to Moshe? How did Hashem speak to Moshe? It says he heard a voice from between the Kruvim. He heard a voice from between the Kruvim. That's eventually when they had the ark. They didn't have an ark. So he's hearing voices. Where's he hearing voices from? And the answer is, he's hearing a voice in his head. Hashem's not talking. If I was there next to Moshe, what do you hear? What would I hear?
Nothing.
The only time we heard was Ten Commandments. Aseret Dibrot. Aseret Dibrot, we heard a noise. Some commentaries say they didn't even hear the first two. They heard the noise of the first two. They heard something going on, and that was enough for them. They just couldn't take it. They couldn't take it.
But isn't it a two-way street, though, that Hashem was watching Moshe?
Hashem's always watching. But
Hashem
is he speaking? Is he communicating?
When he was doing his meditation.
Yes, he's watching him. And
he was a sheep herder.
He was a shepherd.
And
yes.
Wasn't there like a story that goes that there was a lamb?
Yeah, that's the Midrash. The Midrash says the little lamb ran away, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes after him.
Yeah.
And Hashem says, you're going to be the shepherd. You're a good shepherd. You're going to be the shepherd of my people. That's the Midrash. What I'm saying, on a deeper level, what's going on? And the answer is, he's crying to Hashem every day for his people. And that's symbolism. He's worried about the little lamb. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Who my people, my kids. All the kids are dying over there. I see the kids being buried in the stones. So anyway, that's the part which is unmentioned. And that's the part that we have to figure out. It's amazing. It's unmentioned. And for many centuries, it was hidden. It was a hidden secret passed down from generation to generation. The art of meditating, the art of achieving this, speaking to God, and God speaking back. And where do we see this explicitly? Okay, so let's just talk about David HaMelech. The only time, really, it's used explicitly, a prayer to ask for meditation. That's in Psalm 51. Psalm 51 it says. And this is a psalm that we repeat the words in Birkat Levana. So you should remember these words. We say it three times, so a person should remember these words, okay? David HaMelech says in Psalm 51, in Pasuk Yudbet, Lev Tahor Bara Li Elohim. A pure heart create for me Hashem. Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekebi. And a steadfast spirit renew within me. Now, Ruach Nachon could be Ruach HaKodesh. He's praying for Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekebi, make a new spirit in my heart. So, there's different ways of explaining this, but this is the Kabbalistic way of explaining this, is he's praying for Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekebi. Lev Tahor Bara Li Elohim. So, I just want to read you the commentaries over here. This is the Art Scroll on Tehillim. So he brings down the Rashi. Until now, David was struggling to purify his heart of past sins. Okay? He's trying to do teshuva for his past sins. And now he's praying, Hashem, protect me from future things. Lev Tahor, please give me a pure heart. I can't take this Yetzer anymore. Purify means we have to pray. Because we all have Yetzer. So Hashem, please save us. Please save us from this Yetzer. Lev Tahor, please purify my heart. Please purify this. I want my future to be connected to you, Hashem. I want my future to be pure. And the Gemara says in Yuma, Abali Taher Misayinlo. A person wants to be pure, Hashem helps them. So he's praying for purity. He's praying for Lev Tahor Bara Li Elohim. Please, Hashem, give me purity. And then Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekebi. If my heart is pure, I'll be like a new spirit. That's a pshat. Pshat is he's praying for a pure heart. He's praying for a heart with no evil inclination. I don't want the evil side of me. And we find later on, it says, David HaMelech was successful. David HaMelech says, Libi Chalal Bekirbi, my heart is empty within me. He killed the Yetzer. He killed his Yetzer. And you see this, he doesn't take vengeance towards the end of his life. He tells Shlomo, you do it. You know, the guy is screaming at him, cursing him. Who is it? Shimei ben Gera is cursing him, and this. Let him talk. Let him scream. Avshalom, don't kill Avshalom. Avshalom's rebelling against him, don't kill Avshalom. All of a sudden he's changed completely from being a warrior, a fighter, and now he's very passive all of a sudden. He's changed completely. So that's the pshat. The pshat is, he's praying, Hashem, give me a pure heart with no yetzara. And then, Ruach Nachon Chadesh Bekebi. And then my heart will be a new creation. And the whole body will be pure. It's not just my heart, my whole body will be pure. Rambam says, Chol Teshuvah, chapter 2, he says, a fundamental of total repentance is to consider oneself as a newborn creature. This idea of newborn, you know, the Christians took it from us. Newborn is a person who does teshuvah, is like a newborn baby. And that's what we're... That's exactly what David HaMelech is saying. Lev tavar elohim, give me a new heart. And then I'll be a newborn. I'll have a new soul. I'll be a newborn. Why? If a person does teshuvah, then they're like a newborn. Hashem says, I'm going to turn the page. You're like a newborn. I'm going to judge you anew. So, Ruach Nachon can also be translated, Mitzvah David says, to a spirit that doesn't bend. Ruach Nachon. The person knows what's right and what's wrong. Nachon. I want to be a true. I want to be what's right. My soul will be right and always choose right. Okay. Al tashlichenim b'fanecha. Don't send me away from your presence. What a beautiful tefillah. Come on, think about this. And don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Here we have the explicit Holy Spirit. One of the few places that is mentioned explicitly, the Holy Spirit. So we see David HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh. And David HaMelech could feel the Ruach HaKodesh would come and go away. Why would it go away? Very simple. You have bad thoughts, you have dirty thoughts, but whatever. It depends on what we do. It depends on what we think. So Ruach HaKodesh would go. David HaMelech is praying, Hashem, I want to be Tahor all the time. I want to have this straight spirit all the time, so you'll never take away the Ruach HaKodesh. Al tikach meni. Don't send me away from your presence. Ruach HaKodesh al tikach meni. And don't take away your Holy Spirit. I want to be all the time turned on to you. I want to be Holy Spirit all the time. Okay? So, Hashiva li sason yoshecha. And this is something which we have to experience. If we experience this, we'll run after it. And most people don't experience this. It's very hard to experience. Because we never experience prophecy. We never experience Holy Spirit. If you experience Holy Spirit, it's like a drug. You'll run after all your life. You can't do without it. And that's what he says. Hashiva li sason yeshecha. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I remember the joy and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Restore it to me, Hashem. I can't take it anymore. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he lost the Holy Spirit. He became a leper for 6 months. And this is after his teshuvah. Okay.
David became a
leper for a 6 months. Yeah, it was a spiritual leprosy. It's not the regular leprosy. Okay. It's okay. So he became a leper, obviously, because of what he did with Bathsheba. He got his punishment in this world. And David HaMelech here, Natan Navi comes to rebuke him after Bathsheba, and David HaMelech says, "I did it. Hatati Hashem. I sinned to Hashem." And Natan Navi says, "Hashem has forgiven your sin. You shall not die. However, your life will be plagued by many miseries to get kapara, to get atonement." So one of the miseries was he had this leprosy, and a leper does not see Hashem's face. Where do we see this? Miriam. Miriam was thrown out of the camp. She couldn't be in the camp. You can't be in the camp of Israel, for a leper cannot be, he's going to be outside the camp. Can you imagine? David HaMelech, the king of Israel, he has to set up his court outside the camp. Can you imagine?
For 6 months.
6 months. So, but now he's praying, Hashem, cleanse me, Hashem. So this is a beautiful. When we say this, in the, can you imagine? This is in the Birkat Levana, in the prayer for the blessing on the moon. We're going to say a few days, another week. David Melech Shel Chai V'Kiyam. David, we say three times. Amen, amen, amen. Netzah, netzah, netzah. Selah, selah, selah. Vaed, vaed, vaed. Lev Tarhol Barayel Elohim. Ruach Nachon Hashmiyah. Three times you say it. Some people say seven times you say it. It's a meditation. We have to remember the meditation. Lev Tahor Barayel Elohim. Priya Hashem, create a new heart. Just like He created a new moon, give me a pure heart. That's what the new moon represents. It's turning. That's why people do teshuva the day before. Erev Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Kippur Katan. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Coming up. Erev Rosh Chodesh. Which is this Wednesday. This Wednesday is Erev Rosh Chodesh. It's called Yom Kippur Katan. Some people fast. Some people pray.
Really?
For teshuva. Why? Just like you pray for teshuva for the new year, you pray for teshuva for the new month. Huh. And it's a beautiful month, the month of Adar. It's one of the top. It's a month of redemption. We'll see redemption, Tzigula, Adar, Nisan. These are beautiful months. Well, Shvat already started the process. Shvat is lovely. I mean, you get good news in Shvat. If you want good news, Shvat, Adar, Nisan, best time for good news. Yeah, so coming up. So, So that's what David HaMelech, I want to be new. I want to be a new. So we're saying this, see the new moon. The moon is growing, it's brand new, it's a new beginning. And that we're saying this, Hashem, now give me a new beginning as well. Give me a new beginning as well. But look at the beautiful words he says, don't throw me out of your presence, and don't take my Ruach HaKodesh. Please don't do this to me again. Please, Hashem, I've had enough suffering. 6 months, you took away your Ruach HaKodesh. I can't live without it. Please, Hashem. Hashiv Ali Sason Yeshecha. Give me back the joy of your salvation. Isn't it beautiful? It's really beautiful. And then he says, Elamda Poshim Dirachecha V'Atay Melecha Yishuvu. I will teach other people to return to you and teach the sinners to come back to you. Because the person who became Baal Teshuva, his emphasis should be now to go and make other Baal Teshuva. David Ben says, I did Teshuva, I'm doing Teshuva. The rabbis say that there were two cases where they're in the Torah only because Hashem wanted them to be in the Torah. Hashem wanted the Jewish people to sin at the Golden Calf. Why? So we could learn that all Klal Yisrael, if they sin, we can still do Teshuva. And Hashem wanted David HaMelech to sin so that everyone will know that even the king who sins can do Teshuva and we can all do Teshuva. So that's a nice way, it's a very positive way of looking at things, right? Hashem wanted Hashem used their situation to teach us we can do Teshuva.
Isn't Hashem is positive?
100%, no question. Hashem does not want to destroy his creature. Hashem does not want to destroy his creatures.
Right.
The Midah Tova, it says, is greater than Midah Ra. God's trait of giving goodness is much greater. Much greater. How do we know? It said 500 times. How do we know? Because we said the Ten Commandments, right? No, Oseh Chesed L'Alafim. He does kindness for 2,000 generations. And for those who don't listen to him, it says, come on, how many generations? 3 or 4 generations. 3 or 4. So if it's 3, it's even more. If it's 4 times, 2,000 divided by 4, 500 times. His midah of goodness is 500 times more than the midah of... He wants to give us goodness much. Hashem wants to give us goodness, just like a parent. Why did Hashem make us parents? He said, I want you to know how I treat you. Like a good parent treats their children. What do you want? You want to give them. You want to give them, but you know he can't take it. You give too much, you're going to spoil the kid. Hashem says, I'd love to give you, but you're not ready for it. If I see that you're grown up, I give you more. If I see you're acting responsibly, I'll give you more. If I see you're just playing around, I'm not going to give you. Very simple. So, but again, the kid goes to his father. He says, Daddy, I want it. But please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy. He says, okay, I'll give it to you, but you know, it may not be good for you. Daddy, I'll take the chance. That's the trouble. We get ourselves into trouble. We bargain with Hashem and we say, give us a chance, Hashem, I'll take the chance. I'll win the lottery, I'll take the chance. Hashem, you're not ready for it. You're not prepared. Hashem, just give it to me. Don't worry about it. Hashem says, not good for you. And that's when a person prays, they say, Hashem, malel mishalot libcha letova. You pray for someone, you say, Hashem should fulfill your wishes for good. Because sometimes Hashem fulfills a person's wishes because they demand it, and it's not good for them. It's not good for them. That's why we have to say, Gamzu Latova, something happens, we have to know it's for the best. Hashem doesn't give us things which are not for the best. Unless you pray for it. If you pray for something which is bad for you, maybe your prayers are accepted. Hashem's going to teach you a lesson. Ah, you pray for it. I see you. So a person's going to know, you pray with the bottom line is, if it's good for me. If it's good for me, Hashem. What if it's good for me, Hashem? You know what's good for me. I'd like to have this, but if it's good for me. Sometimes Hashem says, it's very good for you. Why didn't you ask for it? You know, you won't know until we get up to there what the answer is going to be. Hashem's got all the answers. So anyway, this is really something to meditate on. Psalm 51, Nun Aleph, is a beautiful psalm to meditate on. And the prayer we say at Birka Levana, Lev Tahor Bara Elohim, 7 times to repeat, Lev Tahor Bara Elohim, Hashem will create for me a pure heart. And give me a spirit which will never rebel against them. Always do the right thing. And then, don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. So this is one of the few places where it says Ruach HaKodesh. In the Torah, expressly. Yeah. It's one of the only places, can you imagine, it says the word Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach Kodshecha Al Tikach Meni. Psalm 51. So it's amazing. This is one of the few places. So amazing. Huh? So the question is, what happened over here? sort of Abraham ben Rambam, son of a Rambam, when he had one son. His kids died. It's terrible. His father dies, his son dies, his first wife died, and his kids died. All plague, all cholera, except for his son, who died in an accident at sea. He had a very rough life, Rambam. He had only one son left. And that one son, Baruch Hashem for that son, he's 18 years old when the Rambam dies, and he becomes the chief rabbi of Egypt. And he becomes the doctor of the... He takes over everything. He must be a brilliant... This kid was brilliant. Must be from a brilliant father. Father educates him, personally educates him. Kid is brilliant. Abraham ben Rambam. He wrote a commentary on the whole Agarata of Shas, which is the Ein Yaakov. He wrote a commentary on the Ein Yaakov, or Abraham ben Rambam. One of the commentaries. So, David HaMelech sins with Bathsheba. He's praying to cleanse his head from all external thoughts through intense meditation. He says this psalm after he'd been rebuked by the prophet, after he was 6 months with leprosy. He's now praying that again Hashem should give him a pure heart, and Hashem should not take away his Ruach HaKodesh. So what is a Ruach HaKodesh? Ruach HaKodesh involves a clarity of understanding, a perception and awareness of the spiritual, and a complete change of personality. In other words, if you're living in a different dimension now, your personality changes. Things which seem important before are not important anymore. Things which were not important before become very important. So why? Because you're living in a different reality. Right? Baal Teshuvah knew that. Right? It's a different way of living. They're a different way of life. Things which were important before, like the scores and the which team won and which team lost. Today, the New Yorkers are in depression. All their teams are losing. It's crazy. Yeah. They must be in deep depression. Must be very everything, basketball, baseball, everything lost. They are lost. They're totally. I don't know what they're going to do. They must be totally depressed. These guys. Must be Prozac is going up. They're all in Prozac now. That's crazy. But a person with Baal Teshuvah, I've got something else. Do I have Shalom Bayit at home? Is my wife happy? That's a very big. I've got to talk to the men. It's very important. Is your wife happy? Because your wife is the Shekhinah to you. Your Shekhinah, which is your completion. A woman is a man's completion. If the wife is not happy, it's a sign something wrong in the big plan of things. Because she's part of your soul, and then the souls are not getting along. I tell my wife, as long as there's love between us, everything's going to go well. Everything will go well. If there's no love between us, it's going to be a fire. And that's the secret of marriage, right? Isha Isha, Shekhinah Benehem. If you take out the Yud Kei, Esh. So that's the secret. Secret of success. One of the secrets of success is if there's peace and harmony at home. If there's peace and harmony at home, you can build on that. Shalom Bayit is very, very critical. And shalom in a person's life is also critical for Ruach HaKodesh. It's very hard to have Ruach HaKodesh when you're not at peace. So it's very hard. A person running here and there, it's very hard. So, David HaMelech probably for many years was fighting wars. He probably didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. He went and came. Only when he's later on in his palace and he's calm and everything's going well, all of a sudden he writes Tehillim to Ruach HaKodesh. So what does Ruach HaKodesh mean? So Ruach, normally we say Ruach is the Spirit. So we say Holy Spirit. So we know that there's three parts of the soul. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. There's a Nefesh, which is the part of the soul that keeps a person alive, basic functions. There's a Ruach, which gives a person ability to talk. And there's a Neshama, which is the ability to think, probably. So the word Nefesh comes from the word Nafash. Nafash, right? We say Vaychulu Hashem Haaretz B'chutz V'am, Vaychalehim Hashem Barayet Him Lasot. Right? So he said the word over there, Vaynafash. Hashem rested. Vaynafash. He ceased work and he rested. Vaynafash. So the word nefesh came from the word rest. Interesting. The word ruach means wind, spirit. Finally, the word neshama comes with neshima, which is breath. And the analogy is the glass blower, right? The process begins with the glass blower is neshima, is breathing into the tube to blow the blob of glass to make it into a vessel. Right? So first starts the neshama. This breath becomes a wind, a ruach, when it reaches the vessel. And finally it rests in the vessel. That's called nefesh. It's the same analogy with us and our soul. The closest part of our soul is the nefesh, because that's the part that rests in the object. The next level is the ruach, which is between us and Hashem is the nefesh. There's a ruach. And above that is the neshama. Neshama is still in God's mouth. So in the case of the soul, the blower is God himself. So therefore it says, Hashem formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a soul, a neshama of life. So spirit known as ruach is thus the breath of God that enters the man's being. Although Hashem's influence constantly permeates man's being, like the air, it can only be felt when it's moving. Because you don't feel Hashem's presence unless you feel something different. You feel a flutter inside you. You should really feel electricity going through you, through your spine. When you're praying, you should feel the electricity going through you. That's Hashem's influence on a person. So a person's really tuned in, they'll feel. And a person should pray for it. Hashem, give me, you know, especially during Birkat Kohanim. A person should be begging Hashem, please give me your energy. Give me some energy, please. Give me Shefa. Right? What should a person pray for? A person should pray for Shefa. What's Shefa? Shefa is divine energy, spiritual energy. A person should pray until they feel it coming out. You should feel it coming through your brains and coming through your head and then eventually going through the whole body. Shefa. So Hashem wants to give. Hashem has plenty of Shefa to give, but you have to know what to ask. So sometimes a person can feel it. So a person can feel Hashem's spirit when it moves within us. That's called ruach. The ruach moves around. The word is also related to the word oreach. Ruach, oreach. What's an oreach? A guest. So a visitor or a guest. Or it's also orach. Orach is a path. Ruach is like a path. So it's not normally present. It's there when it comes in. It's moving in within us. It's also related to the word reach, that a fragrance can be detected even though it's not visible. So ruach is also not visible. It has to be detected like a fragrance. And that's why it says the bracha of smell, there's no bracha achrona. Why is there no blessing after smell? Because smell you can enjoy, but it doesn't satisfy you. It comes and it goes. The ruach Elohim comes and it goes. Comes and it goes. The nefesh is within you. The ruach comes and goes. The neshama, forget about it. Neshama is at the highest level. Okay. The neshama we have to climb up to get to. We have to climb up the neshama to get to the neshama. So the highest level is the neshama, which is the breath of Hashem. And the lowest level is the nefesh, the level that reaches in person. The part that connects the two is called ruach. Therefore, a person who wants to enlighten a person or give a message to a person, he gets a ruach hakodesh. Ruach hakodesh is the mode of transmission between the neshama and the nefesh, between Hashem and the person. That's called ruach hakodesh. So that's that enlightenment which a person gets to through meditation. And Yeshayahu says, a ruach is poured upon us from on high. So it's very closely related to prophecy. Okay? And that's what's going to happen at the end of the days. The prophet Yoel says, at the end of time, Hashem will pour his ruach on all flesh. And all your sons and daughters will prophesy. I can't wait. You like that? That's going to happen. It's going to be a scary experience, right? We're all going to be prophets. Okay, let's move on to a few quotes. Okay, there's a few quotes. So we all know the Gemara, we love the Gemara in Brachot. The Gemara says that the early pious ones would wait 1 hour before praying, pray for an hour and wait another hour after prayers. And we explained that they would wait 1 hour before praying to remove all the mundane thoughts, wait 1 hour for praying, to try and attach to Hashem, and then try and get the message back and meditate on what they heard. So, this is Rabbi Elazar al-Khazri. Rabbi Elazar al-Khazri was the janitor of the Arizal, in the synagogue of the Arizal. Can you imagine? The janitor. He was the janitor, but he wasn't really a janitor. This guy was one of the top Kabbalists. He was really one of the top. And on par, I don't want to say he's on par with the Arizal, but he was singled out by Eliyahu Navi with the Arizal. Is Eliyahu Navi, he was Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Arizal, and Rav Al-Zakhri. They were dancing together at Lag BaOmer. So he was singled out. He wrote the book Sefer Haredi. So this is what he says. The early pious ones would take a total of 9 hours each day from their sacred studies in order to meditate. It was, can you imagine, the mitzvah is to learn Torah. Why are you meditating? Where's the mitzvah meditation in the Torah? Hurry. What's the mitzvah of meditation of the Torah? So to cling to Hashem. The Torah says cling to Hashem. When you meditate, you're clinging to Hashem. Person meditating with their mind. How do you cling to Hashem? You can't physically cling to Hashem. Your father and your mother cling. Daddy, take me. Your kids cling to their father. How do you cling to Hashem? The answer is through the mind. The person clings to Hashem. Always Hashem. You're with me, Hashem. You're with me, Hashem. David HaMelech says, Hashem tzilechad yadibidecha. Hashem is your shadow. That's the highest level. Clinging to you. We have to cling to Hashem. He's our shadow. So he says, 9 hours a day they would meditate, binding themselves to Hashem. They're clinging to Hashem. The light of the divine presence would appear over their heads, as it was spread around them, with them sitting in the midst of the light. If you were near these people, you'd see a light around them. I don't know if you'd see it. There was a divine light around them. Okay. This is from Rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov. This is the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says one should constantly meditate on the divine presence. He should have no other thought in his mind other than his love of Hashem, seeking that the divine presence should attach itself to the person. In his mind, he should constantly repeat, when would I be worthy that the light of the divine presence should dwell within me? This is Avraham Avinu, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? When will I be worthy that I get Ruach HaKodesh? I want Ruach HaKodesh. I want Ruach HaKodesh. I want to be close to Hashem. I want to be worthy of this Ruach HaKodesh. That's what David HaMelech is praying for. Give me a pure heart. And the root of everything, this is the Chida. The Chida was a beautiful, amazing guy. Rav Yosef Chaim David Azulai. Chida. Chaim Yosef David Azulai. He was, his grandfather was a very big Kabbalist. Who wrote the Chesed L'Avraham. He wrote a sefer called Chesed L'Avraham. He was also involved, his grandfather was also involved in unearthing all the works of Rav Chaim Vital. He went to the grave of Rav Chaim Vital in Damascus. And Rav Chaim Vital had written all the books of the Arizal and buried it with him in his grave. And the grandfather of the Chida went with someone else. And they fasted until they heard that they're allowed to go and dig it up. And they went dig up. They dig up all these manuscripts. And that's how we got the works of the Arizal. It's one of the places that we got the works of the Arizal. So you can imagine digging up the Rav Chaim Vital's grave. That's pretty scary stuff. So he was the one. Anyway, the Chida was a very big rabbi who studied briefly with Rav Chaim Ben Attar, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Or HaChaim HaKadosh moved from Morocco to Israel and had a little yeshiva over there. Unfortunately, he died very young, but the Chida was studying with him. And eventually became one of the top scholars in Yerushalayim. And of course, Yerushalayim needs money. The yeshiva need money, nothing's changed. So they send out mishulachim. They send out people to represent the yeshiva to collect money. Who do they send? They don't send every Tom, Dick, and Harry, because he'd be able to speak to the people. He's going to be able to give drashot. Otherwise, people are not going to respect the yeshiva. So they send the Chida. He was sent as an emissary to all the foreign lands. And this is just after Shabbatai Tzvi, and he spent a lot of time making peace among the different rabbis. So it's amazing he got respect amongst Ashkenazim, Sephardim, everywhere he went in the world. He has a book, which someone in my brother's community translated to English. Beautiful. His diary of his travels. Such cool. I went here, and I spoke here, and I spoke to this one. Beautiful. He went all over the ancient world, and eventually he ends up in Italy, in a place called Livorno, which was the capital of printing presses for Jewish books. Why? Because he had plenty of books to write. So he wrote 70 books. The Chida wrote about 70 books. Amazing. And some of them are studied, Ashkenazim studied them as well, because they're on the Shulchan Aruch, the Birkei Yosef, Machzik Bracha, quoted by the Chafetz Chaim. So they're quoted by everyone. And he says over there, the root of everything is meditation. And most people never heard of this. The root of everything is meditation. The root of everything. It is a very great and lofty concept, making a person worthy of all holiness. When a person meditates on God, he is clothed with holiness. When one meditates on Hashem, he is attached to Hashem. Even with regard to his mundane bodily needs. So a person wants praise, Hashem, give me this. They don't realize when they're praying to Hashem, meditating on Hashem, they're attached to Hashem. When they're praying for their health, they're praying for wealth, the act of praying attaches you to Hashem. People don't realize that. So there's two features of prayer we talked about last week. One feature is asking for what you want, but the main feature is you're attaching yourself to Hashem. By recognizing Hashem as the main source of everything, and just by thinking about Him, even thinking about Him to pray, that's attaching oneself. This is Rav Nachman Breslov. He says one must include oneself in Hashem's unity. It was I am part of Hashem. Hashem's unity. Because everything is Hashem. And all milvado. There's nothing else apart from Hashem. If everything else, there's nothing apart from Hashem, that means we're all part of Hashem. All of us. Everything that exists is part of Hashem. So I've got to include myself in Hashem's unity. But how do I do that? What's stopping me from including it? My ego. I am me and you are you, Hashem. He says, you got to, that's why the Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu, was the most humble of all. Right? That's why his nevuah was the clearest nevuah. Why? Because there was nothing between him and Hashem. There's nothing stopping him. There's no ego between him and Hashem. What stops us is our ego. It's very hard to give up the ego. It's very, very hard to give up the ego. It's scary. Because then you lose your identity. That's the trouble. You can lose your identity. You become immersed in Hashem and lose your identity. It's like you're in a sea and you're just carried away by the waves. It's like you lose your identity completely. So Arya Kaplan says, when you meditate, first thing you got to know is you got to want to come back. Otherwise you're going to go crazy. That's what it means. You can lose your identity completely and go crazy. So basically, you have to be grounded in your identity before you can meditate to lose your identity. You can only lose your identity temporarily, and then you come back to your identity. So anyway, so this is what he says. This is Rav Nachman of Breslov. And he says, a person cannot be worthy of being part of Hashem unless they can control their ego. And it's impossible to accomplish this without meditation. When a person meditates and expresses his thoughts before God, he can be worthy of nullifying all his desires and evil traits. So he can become worthy of nullifying his entire physical being, thus being included in the root of Hashem. It's amazing. It's very powerful and very dangerous. Okay. So the aim of the meditation is to be able to give oneself over to Hashem. At least to yearn for Hashem. Intellectually yearn for Hashem, to love Hashem, and to yearn for Hashem, and that's why after Hashem. How can a person love Hashem? You have to tell Hashem, I love you. Obviously, we have to do it physically by doing mitzvot, but over and over again saying, Hashem, I love you, thank you so much, thank you so much, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Hashem. I just saw it last week, I can't remember where I saw it, that the goal of creation was that people should say thank you to Hashem. So when we say thank you, and this is the last three brachot of the Shemoneh Esrei. Unfortunately, it's right at the end and we don't pay attention. The last three brachot, like, we're on the way out, you know. You're thinking of your exit now. But the last three brachot are terrifically important. Why? Because they're thanks. Modim anachdu lach. It's thank you, Hashem. Ucha na'e ledot. It's a pleasure to praise you, to say thank you to Hashem. Lecha na'e. It's a pleasure for me to thank you, Hashem. And sim shalom, or say shalom remav. It's a thank you. Thank you so much. You give us peace. You give us peace. So, the thanks are very, very critical to creating love. If you don't thanks, that means you don't love. If you don't thank, that means you don't love. Right? So if you love your mother, you'll thank your mother. It shows appreciation. Why? Because the word for, it's interesting, because the word for love in Hebrew is similar to the word thank you. Todah is an admission. I got to lower my ego and admit that I owe you a debt, and then I can say thank you. If I can't lower my ego and say, admit or get a debt, I can't say thank you. So it's important to know that when a person says thank you, they're lowering the ego. And that's how to connect to Hashem. By lowering one ego, one connects to Hashem. Okay, this is the Rav Chai Gaon. Rav Chai Gaon was before the Rambam, 939 to 1038. He died just around the time Rambam was born. In Babel, he was one of the leaders of one of the great yeshivot, Pompadita, whatever it was, at that time. The big yeshivot convention lasted for 1,000 years. Those big yeshivot from the time of the Gemara lasted for over 1,000 years. So he was one of the last rabbis of the yeshiva. Hashem arranged the order of creation so that all things are bound to each other. It's hard to imagine, right? Everything is linked. The upper worlds are linked to the lower worlds. The lower worlds are being done, the upper worlds. Everything is linked over here. We're all linked to each other. We don't really see it. Invisible bonds, right? It's like the binding of particles. Right? Every particle has an effect on another particle, depending on the mass of the particle. Everything has an effect. The planets have an effect on each other. We're pulling each other. The gravity. Same thing applies in the spiritual world. Rabbi Shlomo Salanter says, If a Jew over here in the yeshiva is not learning properly, another Jew in France is going to do an avera. Because their souls are linked somehow. Everything is, and you see it. When the rabbi is weak, everyone around him is also weak. The rabbi is strong, the rabbi is rather. So it works. It works. The system works. So all of us have to be strong. Why? Because we all have dependents. If you're an dependent, you have people you learn with, you have people you can influence. So when you're strong, you can influence people better. If you're not strong, it falls apart. But that's the way God created the creation. Hashem created that everything is bound to each other. The direction of events in the lower worlds depends on entities above them. There is no blade of grass in the world below that does not have an angel over it. We don't see that angel. We don't see the spiritual battle above the physical battle. We only have a hint to it in the Torah where the angel of Esav attacks Yaakov. Usually it's the angel of Esav against the angel of Yaakov. Right? It's very strange, right? This time, the angel of Esav comes and shows his hand. This is wild, right? It's wild stuff. The angel of Esav, he couldn't attack the angel of Yaakov. That's Hashem. So he comes to attack Yaakov directly. He cuts out. He goes straight to the party. So we see there's a spiritual battle going on as well as a physical battle. It's very hard to understand this because we don't see with spiritual eyes. You have to try and see. When I was in yeshiva, my rabbi said, I wanted to buy a house. I just got married. I wanted to buy an apartment in Israel. He said, first build your spiritual house, and then you can build your spirit physical house. So what are you talking about? You're talking to little riddles. You're talking to me in riddles. What are you talking about? So in other words, that's the answer. Is you have to grow spiritually, and eventually Hashem will give you provide you with the means. But that's the order of creation. Everything is linked. Nothing is not linked. Our souls, what you see now, our soul here, is the lowest part of the souls above. It's the lowest part of it. So it's linked to the soul above. This is Rav Chaim Volozhin. Rav Chaim Volozhin says in Nefesh HaChaim, we learned that don't think that we are like puppets and someone's pulling our strings. He says the other way around, we are pulling the strings of the worlds above. In other words, Hashem gives the abilities through our tefillah and through our actions to influence the worlds above. So either we are creating worlds or we're destroying worlds. That's terrible. We have the power to create and we have the power to destroy. So after 120 years, the guys are taken for a tour. Yeah, come and see. So you see all the destruction over there? We did it. I did it. You did it. Your deeds, your thoughts, you did the smash. And the higher up it is, the more thought it is. The lower part it is, it's more physical. So the thoughts are very critical, and the speech is very critical. And the actions also, everything is critical. So human souls are bound to higher levels. And therefore, when a perfect individual becomes involved in meditation upon wisdom, it is possible for him to predict future events. Why? Because you link yourself to the higher worlds, and with Hashem, there's no time. Hashem is above time. You link yourself to be above time, you can see the future. You can see the past. Everything becomes one. And that's how prophecy works. As a result of deep meditation, the consciousness and mind fall into a trance, and through his deep probing, the faculties of his heart become like the Urim V'Tumim. Your heart can become like the Urim V'Tumim. It's wild, right? Can you imagine? Urim V'Tumim are in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So the breastplate is Choshen. And inside the Choshen they had parchment which had God's name in it. I don't know what God's name he had. But the breastplate was made into a cloth. It was folded. And inside there was the parchment. And on the outside he had the jewels, the 12 jewels, and they would light up. So Hashem would be speaking through the letters and the jewels. Only problem is, you don't understand what he's saying unless you can decode it. And the Gemara says in Brachot, we're going to learn how Eli, the high priest, misunderstood the letters on the Choshen. The letters on the Choshen said, Kaf Shin Resh Hey, Kishera, or Kesara, and he read it, Shikura. Same letters. So they're jumbled. So he jumbled them a different way. So, Hashem, who is this woman? Says, Kaf Shin Resh Hey. So, Shikura, she's drunk. No, Kshera. Kesara, she's like Sarah. You can read it. It's the trouble. So you need Ruach HaKodesh just to read it. It's not so easy to read it. You need Ruach HaKodesh to be able to read it. Plus, you have to be able to have the power to ask Hashem. We find that one of the Kohanim that left Nov, Ira Kohanim, when Shaul destroyed it, was the son of the high priest, Aviatar. Aviatar, the high priest. Aviatar was a descendant of Eli, and David HaMelech straight away appoints him as his priest. And eventually he becomes the high priest. But what happens is, David HaMelech says, Aviatar, find out what's going to happen. Ask the Urim v'Tumim, wouldn't answer. He got someone else to do it. So he replaced him. So sometimes the priest is on a level to even ask the question and get a message back. And that's the time to replace him. So we find that priests sometimes couldn't do it. So that's Rav Chai Gaon, that we can link ourselves to the higher levels, and as a result, we become like the Urim v'Tumim. Mystically bound to the angels in heaven and become attached to the ultimate good, Hashem. So now we come to Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is more of a pshat, right? But he was a mystic. People don't realize he's a mystic. On the 6 weekdays, the soul of the enlightened meditates on mundane affairs. People go to work. People thinking about the jobs. People got all these distractions. But on Shabbat, it must meditate to understand the works of Hashem and His miracles. At least Shabbat is no excuse. So a person wastes his time on Shabbat. It's a terrible thing. Person shouldn't waste their time on Shabbat. Shabbat was created for learning Torah and getting closer to Hashem and meditating. This is the Ramchal. A person who meditates realizes that the one to whom he is bound is God. This is sensed with absolute clarity, with an awareness that leaves no room for any doubt. The individual is as certain of it as he would be as if he was a physical object observed with his physical senses. You're attached to Hashem. The true meditation attaches you to Hashem. The main concept of true prophecy then is that a living human being achieves an attachment and bond with Hashem. This in itself is an extremely high state of perfection. You can't bond yourself until you're a very high spiritual level. Besides this, however, it's often accompanied by certain information and enlightenment. That's called prophecy. By bonding with Hashem, a person gets this information. That's prophecy. Through prophecy, one can gain knowledge of many lofty truths amongst God's hidden mysteries. These things are perceived very clearly, just as all knowledge gained through bestowed enlightenment. Prophecy, however, comes with much greater intensity in the Ruach HaKodesh. So we see over here there's a different level. So Ruach HaKodesh is a lower level. Much less intensity, much less clarity. But prophecy is much higher intensity and much higher clarity. So today there's no Nevi'im, only children and crazy people. But I think that how they became crazy was through prophecy, because they... Again, their ego disappeared, they vanished, they lost who they are, they lost the concept of who they are. And that's the danger of trying to do these things. A person has to be grounded, and a person has to be holy before they can do these things. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll continue with Rav Hashem next week.